The next stop is Knickerbocker Avenue.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's Fortune 500.
Uh-huh.
I burn his production.
That's right.
And we repping for the New York
Knicks.
Live from the garden, the Knicks game starting. The blue and the orange, the best five starting. Regardless if it's close or a large margin. We hungry for a win. The fan base starving. Bound and astounded. Dishing and we swishing. We run the whole city. Ain't no competition.
Uh-huh.
From Patrick to Willis, Frazier to Strickland. The next generation. We carry on tradition. Year after year. Season after season,
yeah.
Arena full of fans, screaming out defense, playoff intensity, got our hearts beating, the sneakers keep squeaking, hear the heart breathing,
Ooh.
Swishing through the net,
yeah.
The players take flight,
like.
Vibing with the vets, the coaches need a fight, hit them with attack, the players about to fight,
yeah.
It's all about respect, ain't taking any slight,
no.
A piece of the apple, about to take a bite,
right.
About to take a ride, out to new heights, this is our year, the future real bright,
right.
Shining real bright like the New York City lights. For the New York Knicks. Let's go, we the New York Knicks. We rapping for the New York Knicks. Let's go, we the New York Knicks.
It's the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum on the Bleed Blue Show.
Welcome everybody, and a special shout out to Fortune 500 for repping for the New York Knicks, the official theme song to this, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, presented to you live by the Bleed Blue Show. I'm your boy, the infamous one himself, Knickerbocker Ave, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and back on Threads. Joined as always by my partner in crime, Steve Azul. How you doing, brother? What's good with you?
Hey, the fools are working this week.
They're working. Chris or Av, that is 100% BTR. That is an issue. But you know what? I have a workaround for the next time this happens. So I think next time we pull up, we do, you know, you mentioned your IG live. We could do Bleed Blue Show on the Twitter, through the live chat through there. So these, we got backup plans in place in the future, man. I'm going to be working on it, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. And you know what? That's a wonderful idea. You know, going forward, folks, if for some reason you try to call in or you're looking for the latest episode of the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum or any of the Bleed Blue Show episodes, please do not hesitate to hit us up. We'll let you know what's going on. If we're on Instagram Live, if we're on Twitter Spaces, if we're on Facebook Live, if we're on anything, you know, we want to give you the opportunity to join the conversation wherever, whenever, however you are, because that is what brings this community together and what makes it so special each and every passing day. Let's talk some hoops, bro. Let's talk about the orange and blue, the New York Knicks. Just got by another road trip with 4-1, and we still got one more game to go. We're flying into Boston for a matchup with them tomorrow night on Thursday, and then a back to back on Friday at home against the Brooklyn Nets. How did you see the Knicks go on now that everything's, you know, the dust is settled?
Dom and Coach Chris first to say hello? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh, whoa. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring in our fellow stakeholders, the top contributors to the Knickerbocker Fan Forum, Dominic DiNardo, DiNardo DP on Twitter. What's good, my brother? How you doing? Ooh.
Good evening, gentlemen. Since Av's in such a hurry, Steve, let's go.
Av is never in a hurry. Av is just feeling the energy. You know what I'm saying? Because our team right now is in the third seed, one game short of being in the second seed, and Orlando and Milwaukee are going at it as we speak. They're the teams that are above us and below us. So, I'm just feeling the energy. Coach Chris, how you doing, my brother?
Everything's good on my end. I'm just a little upset about the Julius Randle surgery, but everything else is good on my end.
Yeah, and that's actually – go ahead.
I was going to say, before we move on, I got to say this to both Dom and Coach Chris, the University of North Carolina. Listen, man.
Here we go.
Wow.
I have to say that, man.
Here we go.
I was trying to speed it up so that Steve would not throw that in y'all face right now, because y'all don't need that kind of fucking energy right now. But yeah, North Carolina fucking dropped the ball. Congratulations to the UConn Huskies.
The field said we need more bounty money. Dinner and lunch and breakfast ain't gonna cut it. They need more money.
The only thing I'm hearing is John Calipari left Kentucky or something. That's the only college news I heard. I haven't heard anything else. I'm sorry.
Wow. Yeah, that is absolutely true. John Calipari left the University of Kentucky and signed with Arkansas. A big money deal. Big money deal for a coach. But hey, he kind of deserves it.
He got a lot.
He's got a lot.
He'll leave UMass. He'll leave Memphis for Kentucky, and then now this shit to Arkansas. I don't know, man. This is the reason why the NIL transfer portal is in session, because coaches be doing this shit and students were stuck. So I'm glad that cats could be all moving now, man.
That's absolutely true, and it is a huge benefit for player athletes, you know, in any sport, you know, moving forward. But let's get back away from college hoops. Congratulations to University of Connecticut, their second straight national title. But into professional hoops. Yeah, guys, take a lap around the room.
I want the Knicks to get the championship. I mean, in my lifetime, I've seen six national championships. That's fantastic. And could the Knicks get one? Just one.
You know what? I'm kind of the same way. I've seen five World Series. I've seen four Super Bowls and even the Stanley Cup. But I have yet to see the Larry O'Brien at Madison Square Garden because the Knicks actually won it. I see it at Madison Square Garden because the Spurs won it, but that's not what I really want. I mean, but let's delve into the news. Since the last time we met, you know, some things have happened. As Coach Chris alluded to, Julius Randle has been deemed deactivated, had season-ending shoulder surgery to repair the dislocation of that, what is it, left shoulder, I believe it was. And, you know, that was a big blow. But the good news is we got Mitchell Robinson back. We have OG Anunoby back. And Jalen Brunson is making huge strides, in my opinion, into entering that MVP conversation. It's becoming harder and harder to say that he won't be in consideration. What say you, Steve?
He's been playing great, man. Let's even go back a little bit further. Remember, I came on your Instagram Live about a couple of weeks ago when they played the Spurs and he had dropped like 60 or something like that. Remember, he was up there. He's put
61.
The team on his back score-wise. The question is, like, we talked about it last week, but we had issues, but the Julius Randle out for the rest of the year, and my knee-jerk reaction, like, man, I'm going to change my wording around. The Knicks still have a chance to get to a championship, just the percentage of them winning it is gone down, because they needed him on top of the Bogdanović and the acquisition of Burks, all the other pieces that we brought in, Anunoby, to make this thing work. Now the task is taller. So what I mean by that, if I were to give the Knicks a relatively shot, let's say, I don't know, 35 to 40% with Randle, it's gone down to like maybe 15 to 20 at best. And that's because you need everybody with the type of roster that we got. So with that said, everything has to go right. Hopefully Bogdanović gets more of a green light to make up for the scoring for Julius Randle that he would have brought to the table. Then everybody's going to have to do their part with rebounding, and, you know, Hart's going to do that. Of course, we know that. Mitchell Robinson's going to have to do that, of course. So everybody's going to have to pick up on the productivity for Randle. It's just those pressure baskets that you're missing that's all going towards Jalen Brunson now. I think he's capable to do that, and this is the reason why he's on a scoring tear. I don't care. Me personally, I think you guys heard me say this before. I don't get caught up in the MVP, All-Star, who should be in the All-Star game, or who should be an All-Star, who should be MVP. I just care for championships. Give me the championships, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's just me as a fan. I don't care about the individual accolades, although I understand the importance because of how well the player was playing. At the end of the day, championships for me, man. So Listen, the Knicks are in third place, and that middle of the pack has really been like a deck of cards, man. Like 3 through 6 or 7 is just separated by like 2.5 games. So yeah, man. But the Knicks, you know, that first Chicago game, you know, it was a little bit of a downer, but they came back after the Milwaukee game, which was one of the bigger wins of the year because it seems like Milwaukee's been a wall, you know. So they got 2 games out of them out of 5. So, and then the nice win where Brunson went off. So I'd like to hear what Dom and Coach Chris and you got to say about the last several games, man.
Absolutely. And you know, to that point, Dom, I wanted to hear your thoughts on this, but I also have a question for you to go along with that. With Julius Randle out, and you know, and he's been out for quite some time now, do you feel like the Knicks' offense has become a little bit too one-dimensional, or is it, or is there still enough talent or enough spark there, for sustainability? Going forward throughout the playoffs.
Good question, but I will say this. The Knicks did not reinvent the wheel with the next man up, but damn, they are sure displaying it. I look at it this way, like Steve just said, Hartenstein, Robinson will pick up some of the rebounding slack. My wild card on the scoring, if it's not Bonjo, is Deuce McBride. I'll tell you what, guys. You know how I am, Steve. I was never a big proponent in the G League and all this stuff. But, man, now that I look back and everybody was saying how Deuce McBride was lighting up the G League, he's lighting up the NBA now. I mean, I got to give credit where credit is due, man. It was like 5 minutes after the Knicks extended his contract, they traded everybody. So somebody knew what they was doing. He's my wild card, guys. For the life of me, fellas, maybe I missed the boat. Maybe I didn't study hard enough in class this morning, but I did not know this kid could shoot like this. He's my wild card, and guess what? He may be everybody else's wild card, too. Because, you know, now that if you get Ananobi back, let's say he stays back, you know, word on the street is this guy don't like playing with a stomachache, but let's say he stays back, and now you've got – Deuce coming off the bench. You got Hart coming off the bench. You got Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench where he belongs. No shade. You got, and Bogdanović, you got some lightning in a bottle in more than just Jalen Brunson. Now, does Jalen Brunson take the air out the ball at times? Yes. Yes, he does. But that being said, so far, so good. I will say this, guys, because I beat this to death on Twitter and all these shows these guys invite me to. If you was to tell me any team in the NBA at one time or another was missing 3, 4, and at one time 5 of their starting 5, and they'd be this many games over 500, I tell you, you're full of shit. But the Knicks have done it, guys. I don't know what it is, guys. The funny thing is, Steve, I went back to my summer prediction. I had the Knicks as a 3 seed. They may eclipse that. They may become the 2nd seed, but man, I can't believe what I'm seeing, guys. It's enjoyable. I don't think, to Av's first question, I don't think Jalen Brunson is in the top 3 for MVP. He may break the top 5, but I think they do the 3, and then they shake a barrel and they come up with the MVP. I don't think he cracks the top 3. I think what's-her-name is going to win it again, Joker. And runner-up might be Doncic. But, no, I don't think he's cracked that barrel because you got to think about what Joker has done all year. Brunson has had a lot of great spurts, but Joker does this all year. You know, rebound, assist, points. I'm just happy the Knicks are doing what they're doing. I'm like Steve. I could give 2 you-know-whats who wins an MVP. If you're winning and we're moving along in the postseason, I'm happy. All that other stuff, hey, great conversation. But can I ask you guys one question?
Absolutely.
Are any of y'all going to the Bronx for that viewing party with Nickinator and them?
I'll answer really quickly. I've been pondering that one. Unfortunately, I still can't drink because I'm still recuperating from surgery. But
I don't drink
either. But I might be able to stop by.
I'm throwing that out there because I will be in Englewood, New Jersey this weekend. Unfortunately, we're going to a funeral. But Sunday happens to be a free day for the family, so I might take that 30-minute drive over the bridge and hit the Bronx and see what this is about. I mean, a lot of guys want to, you know, say hi and all that stuff, but I'm actually debating it, guys, in case y'all are interested.
Well, Steve,
I don't.
Are you down?
So.
Steve, are you down? Will be a no. I'm nowhere near New York right now, so that would be a no. But I'll listen to you guys on Twitter and all that other stuff. So
very well, very well. Coach Chris, you know, same questions for you. My follow-up question to go on top of that is, can you tell me, of all the Knicks, besides Jalen Brunson, who is the next prolific player who can create their own shot out of the entire team? Who is the next one up? Right now, Jalen Brunson is number one. Who is number two? And anybody can answer that question, but it was very interesting because Live gave me the answer, and it shocked me. Do you know that answer? Who is this? Who is the second most prolific player who can create his own shot on the Knicks today?
Okay. Well, first, let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about, do I think the offense is a bit stagnant? In a sense, yes. I see what Brunson's doing. He's killing it right now, and I got no complaints about that. But everybody else, DiVincenzo is doing his thing. Hart is doing his thing. I mean, besides that, I don't see anybody else like really stepping up and going crazy. I was expecting more out of Bogdanović and Burks, especially with Burks coming back. I thought that he was going to be able to provide a little bit more, being that he was, you know, we all were excited because he was a part of the system in the past and he did well with us. OG got to get his shit together, man. I mean, we really. But, you know, Hartenstein is good for his putbacks, his dunks, his high-energy stuff. And so, essentially, I'm worried if Brunson has an off night, just what are these other guys going to be able to do? Now, as far as who could get their own shot off, I would say DiVincenzo, and I would go with, I know we just signed this dude, but Shake Milton. I think if you give him enough minutes, Shake Milton was a baller when he was with the 76ers. I know they had their own little issues going on there when they had the whole Ben Simmons situation and who was going to start and then the bubble. But Shake Milton was a baller. I mean, I know he's bouncing around, but I'm not saying give him McBride's minutes, but he's a good addition to the team. I like it. But it should really be Bogdanović. He should be that next guy to be able to kind of pick up the scoring slack. Guys, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, the question was, though, is that who is the second best playmaker on this team? I wonder if you'd be surprised at who that is.
You said playmaker?
I'm going to say Hartenstein.
Oddly enough, and this is Mr. Lives, he told me this last night on my IG Live, it's Precious Achiuwa.
Wow. Is it now?
Precious Achiuwa right now is the second most leading playmaker who actually can create his own shot behind Jalen Brunson. That means that I just tell you that guys like Bojan Bogdanović, Dante DiVincenzo, Deuce McBride, and everybody else is essentially spot up shooters. We already know that Hartenstein, you know, he's a putback. So is Mitchell Robinson. He's a rebound putback, and he's also a high screener. But in terms of playmaking ability, it's Jalen Brunson and then Precious Achiuwa, and so it kind of makes me a little concerned about that going forward. What say you? Because again, is the Knicks too one dimensional on offense? On defense, they're awesome, but on offense,
could they become much easier to defend going into the playoffs?
I don't know if I agree with that, to be honest with you. I would like to hear you guys' opinion because I don't recall sequences this season since we got Precious Achiuwa where he's really consistently, the objective word, consistently taking his man off the dribble for easy buckets like what a Randle would have done or a Jalen Brunson. I would say after Brunson on the team is possibly as Bogdanović. He can do it. We haven't seen him do it consistently, but we've seen him do it with the Pacers, the Nets, the Pistons. So I know he can score the ball. I mean, you can't be just a spot-up shooter. Oh, you can, and maybe in the old NBA, but today's NBA, he doesn't have great handles, but he has enough handles to the point he can get a straight direct line to the hoop. Layups or a pull-up jumper. I mean, that's his bread and butter, the jumper, of course. So I don't know about that Precious Achiuwa saying he can – I just haven't seen enough evidence of that. I just haven't. You know, to me, he's kind of more of a fill-in, backup power forward, get you garbage buckets, maybe a little turnaround here and there. But to say what he – you know, to the ability of creativity, I have not seen that. I don't know about you guys. What are your guys' thoughts?
I would have thought Deuce McBride, since I just talked about him a minute ago, but I would have kind of sort of thought him because DiVincenzo is going to get a pass, spot up, shoot. Hartenstein, we know what he does. Mitchell, we know what he does. Josh Hart can take you off the dribble, but he just seems like there's times you don't know what the hell he's doing. But like Deuce McBride can dribble, pull up, take you off the shot, go to the basket. I don't know. That Precious Achiuwa, I ain't debating live. Don't get me wrong. He came up with this somehow, some way. I just don't see that. I mean, the guy's probably averaging, 4 points a night? If that.
It shocked me, too. It shocked me, too, because I would have figured that, in regards to playmaking, Dante and Deuce would be – you know, the perfect candidates because they have the ball in their hands a lot more in comparison to Precious Achiuwa as well, you know, and especially if when Jalen is not on the floor, where's the ball going? To those two brothers and then maybe on the third option being Bogey. But I don't know, man. Coach Chris?
Oh, man. Just also watching the games. I mean, so I do see the ball in his hands a lot more than I guess they trust him more in these past few weeks than they had in the past. But he's getting a sufficient amount of scoring. I don't see him being a prolific scorer. He's not Carmelo, I'll tell you that. But he's doing what we expected him to do. I think, you know what, like 2 months ago, we didn't really expect much out of him. And I know it's probably like the fourth time we've talked about him, but he's doing what we expect him to do. But I don't go crazy and turn on the Knicks to watch Precious Achiuwa and what he's doing.
Right. So let's look ahead a little bit into the remaining three games on the schedule. We have the Boston Celtics tomorrow night in Boston. Then we come home on Friday night against the Brooklyn Nets. And only to close out the season once again with the Chicago Bulls, only this time it would be at Madison Square Garden. I'm looking ahead at the injury report because if anybody didn't know, the Knicks got fined $25,000 for apparently Mitchell Robinson's injury report, whatever that meant. I'm not sure how that gets graded, but I'm looking at the injury report. So Drew Holiday, who just got his $135 million extension from the Celtics, Xavier Tillman, Al Horford, Kristaps Porzingis, and Jaylen Brown are all game time decisions. Should they even play, Steve? Or they have already got the Eastern Conference wrapped up. They're in the number one seed. There's no one's catching them. Should these guys even play? And how important do you think it is to the Knicks?
The Knicks need to win out. So from a Knicks side of things, continue to play hard and stay at three for that seed. I mean, as far as the Celtics position, I don't see any benefit. I mean, they're kind of already locked in to where they are, so I don't see any benefit of them playing, waiting for the winner or the play-in situations. So, I mean, yeah, the Knicks could win out and stay at three, and if everything stays the same, right, they'll be currently paired up with the Pacers. So for the Knicks, stay healthy and win out. It's just that simple. I mean, it's straightforward to me.
That's the plan. I mean, that's the obvious plan, is to win out. However, it is the Boston Celtics. We have yet to defeat them during this regular season. You know, they've had our number. They're 3-0 against us. So that's something that you know, that I'm looking into. Your thoughts on that, Dom?
They already wrap up the division. Like, they run the division. They won the conference, basically, right? So why would you play your player? For what?
They actually wrapped up the whole thing. They got the best record in the NBA. So they got to have home court throughout.
Reason why play your players? And I'm not saying play a game and then somebody gets hurt, but you wrapped up the entire field. You're the best team in the league record-wise. So why get healthy? Like, they have no reason to play, honestly. They don't. So we should go and beat them if they rest their players.
Right. I was hoping the Knicks won out. I was hoping that the Magic would do God's work for us and beat the Bucks two of these last four games. But right now, the Bucks are waxing the Magic, so we can't end up in a tie with Milwaukee, because I think they got us in the season series. Yeah. So all things considering, if we win out, let's say we win out, Milwaukee loses the last two out of three, we'll be in the second seed. So, but then again, guys, when you look at this craziness, like, the 1 and 2 seeds are going to play some pretty good teams that are coming out of the play-in. So you might have Philly at 7. Miami at 8, or Miami at 7, Philly at 8, whatever. Indiana might drop down, get in the play-in, or somebody might get lucky in the play-in and bump one of them teams I just said. So there's going to be some 1-8, 2-7s might be, like, if it's 3-6, the way things are right now, we play Indiana. I think we dominate Indiana. And I think what's up next, Boston? So,
no. If we're the 3 seed, we would play the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round.
Okay, yeah, we would play the 2 seed, yeah. Yeah, so we play Milwaukee. And I said this earlier, guys. I don't see no team in the Eastern Conference that's going to pump fear in my heart. And especially the way the Knicks are playing. The Knicks are playing with house money, guys. What the Knicks are doing is supposed to be projected for next year. And so on and so on. We get Randall back. Hopefully we get Anunoby for a full season. And we get these wheels to stay on the bus. So everything we're playing with right now is house money, guys. But I still believe we can go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe that in my heart of hearts. And not because I'm a Knicks fan. It's because of the way things have been balancing out. And I said this a couple of times with y'all. Boston has been winning the championship for the last 200 years. And they ain't one shit. All this talent they got, all this money they're spending, the Jrue Holidays, the Porzingises, the Whites, they ain't won nothing, guys. So what? Yes, they had a great year. They've had great years before. So let's see what they do in the playoffs, because, again, you're in the playoffs, you're playing the same team. Jaylen Brown can't go right, can't go left. Jason Tatum wants to be Kobe Bryant. Then they start doing the you shoot, I shoot routine, and you never know, guys. You never know. So I think the Knicks will be, I think, 3-6. I'd like to see them be the second seed, but now that I'm thinking about it, it might not happen because Milwaukee's winning right now. So 3-6. We get the home court, guys. We get the home court for the first round. So that's a goodie. And you never know what might happen.
Which is kind of interesting you mentioned that, because you're absolutely right. Of the teams that are in that play-in, right now you're talking about teams like Philadelphia, Miami, Atlanta, and, you know, they can easily – I can see any one of those teams
pulling up an upset over Milwaukee or Boston or both.
They did it last year.
They did it last year, exactly. So it's not completely out of a realm of possibility. I'm just saying, you know, some things can fall in our favor since the Knicks had to win out, as Steve said. What are your thoughts, Coach Chris?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, third spot, we played the sixth seed. I know that's not settled yet at the bottom of the standings, but yeah, I mean, nobody's pumping Kool-Aid in my heart. I don't see it. It's the same teams that we've been talking about all year, and yeah, we've been. The thing is with Milwaukee is like we all keep saying how inconsistent they are, but and then they do some wild shit like beat Boston they smacked Boston this week. But they're still inconsistent. Like, as good as they are that they're in the second place, we still think that's the team that everybody could probably upset in the first round. It's crazy to even utter the same words like that, but I guess that's where we're at, right? But as far as Boston, I mean, yeah, you know, they kind of had our number and, you know, they doing whatever they're doing and they haven't looked like they have a good run, but nah, bless you. I'm not really worried about them, man. I could see them getting into a dog fight, you know, the first two rounds and then coming in hobbled into that third round and having trouble. I mean, you know, the bottom of the East, those 7-8 seeds, I mean, they're going to be scrappy. They're coming in to fight. They're not coming in to just be happy like these previous years. Some of these other teams were just happy that they were in the playoffs. I don't see that happening this year. However, it gets settled out. But yeah, I'm not worried about nobody. I mean, and I'm not going to say I'm overly confident, but I'm just not worried about nobody.
All right, thank you very much. All right, guys, let's shift focus from the Knicks to the rest of the NBA. You know, we're going to give them a little bit more time than usual because I want to talk about the Western Conference setup. You know, a lot of positioning is still left to be decided. As you can tell, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets are tied for first. I think currently Minnesota has the tiebreaker. However, they do play each other one more time over the next three games. Then, of course, they're followed by the Thunder, who are a game out. Then the Clippers, Dallas, they're about 4 or 6 out. And then it's kind of a crapshoot from 6 all the way down to 10 when you're talking about the Pelicans, the Suns, the Kings, the Lakers, and the Warriors. Steve, I know you had the Rockets probably coming, you know, probably sneaking in. That didn't happen. They're officially eliminated. How do you see this whole stacking up over the Western Conference?
Oh, man, I don't know, man. I really don't know, man. I mean, those teams in the Northwest, they've done a good job this season, man. It's been a dogfight, all three of them. I think the last time we had a conversation about this, I said I picked Denver, and I believe somebody else picked Denver to win the division. But, listen, I'm happy for Minnesota because this is a franchise, I mean – especially for me, you and Coach Chris, because we're the same age. Dom seen everything. You see everything. Dom, when we say everything, I mean, when I say something, we're going to include you. You've seen everything. You've seen all the stuff me, Coach Chris, and Av seen. So when I say this, Minnesota, my whole lifetime, it seems like Minnesota was a lot for a lottery pick. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to see them at this late in the season, I mean, you haven't seen this since what? Garnett? And Sam Cassell or whoever was on that team, Wally Zerbiak. I don't know, man. It goes to that vision, man. Like, they probably thought or bought into that trade with Rudy Gobert. And a lot of people were looking at it as a 2.0 version of Ralph Sampson and Olajuwon. And it's almost the same thing when I was going to bring up tonight, too, about Kyrie and Luka. Because last year when they made that trade, it didn't work out. Because once that trade happened with Dallas, they just went down the wayside, right? But now they're actually okay and back into the playoff picture. Sometimes it takes time to gel. So same thing with Gobert and Anthony Edwards and Anthony Towns for Minnesota. Same thing with Dallas with Luka and Kyrie. Now I was going to bring that up tonight. So is that, you know, it's good to see those guys back, man. You know, because right, Av, like every time the NBA offseason hit happened, Minnesota always had a lottery pick. It seemed like every year for like a 22 decades. It seemed like with Minnesota. So yeah, you know,
definitely.
And Denver's Denver, and in Oklahoma City, everybody thought. Well, I think most people thought, you know, they were probably a play-in team, maybe six at best. But it goes to show, man. Like you put the talent, and they play hard, man. You could build a roster within the next couple of years, man. And they benefited off of that Chris Paul trade with the Clippers. Oh, was it? I think it was on the Clippers. Yeah, it was the Clippers. It was a three-way trade with him and when Paul George with the Clippers and Shea goes to Alexander with the OKC. So good for those three franchises, man. Good for them, man. That's all I got to say on that. Good for them. And we got Mr. Live with us, by the way.
Mr. Live. You're all late, my brother. So put away the crispy jersey. We'll get to you in a second, homie. We'll get to you in a second. Dom. Minnesota and Denver, they play one more time and probably settle who's going to be the number one seed. Anything interesting that you want to point out? Of course, how do you see the rest of this stacking up? Because at any point, this is definitely the final way, you know, the final layout, how everything's going to be. How do you see that happening?
Actually, Denver and Minnesota play each other tonight on ESPN, 10 o'clock. I got Denver, guys. It just seems like Denver with Murray, Joker, and Porter, and they just start plucking pieces in and around and near these guys, and they don't skip a beat, guys. I've always been a Denver watcher. They're always one of my favorite teams to watch on League Pass, but I don't see nobody beating them, guys. I don't. I mean, unless something drastic happens. This Michael Porter Jr., guys, I know I've harped on him since he came in the league. This kid's numbers. And, I mean, come on. It's unbelievable. 48, 41, 88 from the line, 7, 8 assists, 17 points. They all just work so well together. It's like a puzzle that's put together for you, and you just got to come and maybe add a little glue. That's a hell of a team, man. I don't care where they fall, first, second, third. I still got them coming out the West. The one thing about the West as opposed to the East, the West is a little more balanced when you talk about points for and points against. You know, you got teams in the East, like Coach was talking about, Milwaukee, they're still giving up 118 points a night. So how far does that take you in the playoffs? You know, and again, we talked about this earlier in the year. That's the cards they dealt themselves. They went Dame Time shooting offense to Drew Holiday, could do all of that, but give you some hell of a defense. Y'all went for this. And all year long, guys, they've been at 118, 120 points against all season. Now you're in the playoffs. You're playing the same team every night. So if you didn't lock them down last week, what's the possibilities of you locking them down this week? You still are the same team. I always say this, guys, and I'll pass them right. They have numbers for a reason. Numbers give you a big picture of what this team is. Points for, points against, free throws made, the whole nine yards. We watch these numbers for a reason because it gives you a snapshot of who Steve Azul really is. And I don't know what Milwaukee is. I know Milwaukee is not going to the conference finals. I don't care where they fall, first, second, third, fourth, fifth. They're not going to the conference finals. They got a good chance, guys, of getting knocked out in the first round.
Well, at this point, there's a very good. It is very likely. I mean, just again, once again, seventh seed currently is the Sixers. The eighth seed is the Miami Heat. The ninth seed is the Chicago Bulls, and the tenth seed is the Atlanta Hawks. They'll get past either Atlanta or Chicago, but once they get past, once it gets to the second round, they have to play a team like either the Knicks, and I just don't see them beating the Knicks.
They're not
going to
get that far, Av, because they're going to play either the Sixers or the Heat. More than likely, the Sixers.
Right.
That'll be a dog fight right there. They might not get out of there, guys. I don't mean to cut you off, Av, but I don't see them beating the Sixers.
But you know what? I actually want to see them play against the Heat just because I know that Heat can beat them and still smack them in the mouth every now and then because they have a track record of doing so, you know, that very thing. So it'll be interesting. Moving on, Coach Chris, the Western Conference. Who's taking the number one seed, and how do you see that, you know, that play-in, you know, car crash down there for 7, 8, 9, and 10 while I'm coming out for you? How do you think that's going to work out?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see the Timberwolves just because, for me, it was an unexpected story. Like, I wasn't expecting the Timberwolves to be this good all year round. Yeah, I thought they were far away from this point. So, I mean, we know the Nuggets are good. We all know the Nuggets are good. But I would like, if it comes down, we're only down to like, you know, three games left, I'd like to see the Timberwolves take it. I mean, it doesn't mean nothing because, you know, like we just said, man, it's a dog fight. They're looking at either the Warriors, the Lakers, something like that in the first round, maybe the Kings. It could get ugly on that side. So I don't think they have – if Minnesota does, you know what, let's just say this. Minnesota can be one or two. I don't see them beating anybody at the bottom of the West just because of the experience factor. You know, these guys are different teams once the playoffs start. So good luck to them. At least let them win, get first place in the Western Conference because I see them as a first round out.
Anybody there?
My apologies.
Yes.
I was on mute. I started talking to myself. As you were saying, Coach Chris, it actually feels like the number three seed of the Western Conference, currently occupied by the Oklahoma City Thunder, is the safest place to be right now because you know who your opponent's going to be. It's going to be the Pelicans. You're pretty sure that the Thunder is going to get over the Pelicans in less than six games, and then going into the next round, you know you're gonna probably play either the Nuggets or the Timberwolves, and even though I don't think that Thunder can beat them, they have a fire shot on against either one of them. It's not gonna be a walk in the park for any one of those teams. So I think that right now the safest place to be is the three seed in the West, which is kind of crazy. Mr. Live, what do you think of that?
Before we bring online, let me say something real quick to that. I would not overlook Northern. I would not overlook Pelicans for the simple fact that the Thunder was the ones who knocked them out of the play-in on their home court. I think the Pelicans would like some revenge, especially with all those injuries they had last year. I just want to put that on the table because I like little rivalries and when teams get knocked out by other teams and they got to face each other the subsequent year. So let's not sleep on New Orleans, man. There might be some motivating factors to that.
You know what? You bring up a great point. Great point to that. Mr. Live, welcome back. And how do you see this going down for the Western Conference?
I mean, you know, like the illest thing that I've noticed, man, is how this bottom heavy veteran heavy situation is going to play out, man. It's like who want to play any of the 7-8? You know what I'm saying? Who want to play anybody in that 7-8 spot? You know what I'm saying? Like it's crazy. Like the playing is going to be a championship in itself. This is going to be some of the most entertaining shit we've seen in a minute. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, with all of the favorite calls and the veteran play, man, it's gonna look really good, man. But again, to end it all, you know, I I'm looking at the Mavs and hoping they get one and done. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping the Clippers take their ass up out of here. So, you know, it's that. But there's nobody. That Nugget squad is just. And I think the Timberwolves are frauds. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to get the worst pace.
Wow.
I don't believe them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't believe them. I, you know, They played well and they surprised everybody and I think because addition by subtraction with Cat Williams, they might have found something where now Ann is able to do what he do. But who are they beating in a 7-game series? Like, they're not beating the Clippers. Right? They're not beating the Clippers. They might beat the Mavs, right? You know what I'm saying? The Pelicans. Okay. But you know, like, there's nobody outside of them, especially in that bottom half, who they are going to beat, like, this year. Not this year. They need Cat. You know, and I don't know his injury situation, you know what I'm saying? But they need him to have any kind of chance. And if they don't have him, it's a wrap. So, I'm looking at the Nuggets, man. The Nuggets just, that 5-6 player situation they got, man, is like they could stagger up. They could stagger for the whole playoffs and just be a better team than any other five. You know what I'm saying? So, maybe the Suns start to gel, but. Or start to become, to look like a team with three, like, powerhouses on it. You know what I'm saying? But ain't nobody scared of them either. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't got no bench. You know what I'm saying? So, it's a funny, again, I'm looking more forward to the play-in than the actual playoffs. Because after the play-in, there's really not a lot of drama, you know? So, that's how I look at it.
With that being said, the play-in in both conferences, they are the most interesting because you look at the quality of the teams that that are going to be entering at 7, 8, 9, and 10 on both sides. This is where I think the Sippy Cup would have been probably more useful instead of in the middle of the season, the way it ended up being, but. I'm excited. I'm very excited to watch pretty much the entire playoffs. I may actually treat this the same way I did WrestleMania weekend, where I just sat at home just watching nonstop basketball from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, and of course catch those West Coast games because it's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We are reaching slowly but surely towards the end of our time. But Steve, any other announcements or any other thoughts that you want to share with us right now?
Yeah, I do. I want to go back to the time when we were not on here, and also we had the issues last week. But that Sacramento game, man, that was impressive. The game we beat them at home, and we were down big in that game, and they came back. What are your thoughts, Av, and then everybody else, real quick, that Sacramento game in particular? I know we lost the game in Miami, and Rozier, he could have missed or something towards the end of that game. So you could learn to live with a loss in Miami, but that Sacramento game was special. What were your thoughts on that, Av?
Well, I resent that notion that we can live with any kind of loss against the Miami Heat. Because any loss to them is basically a kick in the nuts or a slap in the face, and I will not tolerate that, sir. So please retract that statement. However, you're absolutely right. That Sacramento game was kind of special because it had the potential to have that playoff atmosphere. It definitely had that. But it really shows you that this team can be dynamic and can make adjustments throughout the game. And really, right down to the needle is that at the very basic bones of this team, the team's defense is going to be the catalyst to everything that makes this team succeed. And that's where you really have to credit Tom Thibodeau. For his management of minutes, management of the timeouts, challenging when he's supposed to, and really just getting these players ready, and the players are reacting perfectly. I thought that game showed you a lot of character, just similar to the victory we just had recently against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Knicks showed you their grit, showed you their moxie, showed you that, you know, that they're not afraid to, you know, to put in that work and get in their hands dirty and, you know, really put in that work. And it showed, it paid dividends in both those occasions.
Anybody else thoughts on that?
Any follows?
Yeah. I thought that was one of the better. Maybe top three games of the year. You know what I'm saying? To Av's point, we got an engine in Brunson and it goes as our defense goes. You understand? If he's having a bad game, you know, our defense is going to save us, man. I mean, you know, what can you say about Deuce McBride, man? You know, like he's, you know, he's getting, they've been getting bargains out of, like, everybody in the crew, including, you know, Hart is a bargain. DiVincenzo is a bargain. I like at this point now, Precious Achiuwa is not a throw-in. So you could see from that Sacramento game that, you know, the contributions, the help is there. So and you see now again with the Bucks game, you know, OG and Mitch is coming right in time. So there's another level they can go to gel. So it's gonna be exciting, man. I really can't wait, man. I wish we had Julius. You know, I see we are kind of redundant in certain places, but I'm excited to see what's happening. What's going to happen?
All right, I have a question for everybody, and this stems on the fact of Julius Randle, you know, and season-ending surgery. Do you guys feel that Julius Randle probably, at this point, given the timing of his injury, given the timing of the situation, and given, you know, what the projected outcome of this team's success, and of course, we know about all the draft picks. We know about all, you know, all of the desires of the management, you know, to lure a big star. Is it possible that we've probably seen Julius Randle play his last game as a New York Knicks? We'll go down the line, Steve.
I don't think so. I think he's going to be a Knicks. My last point on that, we didn't discuss it. The blood of the incident on Randle is still on Tom Thibodeau's hands. So I'm going to be honest. Like, if the Knicks don't get to a certain point in the playoffs, this goes back to Tom Thibodeau for leaving him in that Miami game. It was an utter big mistake. Big mistake. So, but as far as Randle, I think he's still in there.
Dom?
I think he comes back because we go through this all the time. You know, we'll say get rid of Steve, but we always pause. Who are we replacing him with? Like I told y'all guys a million times, only a handful of players over the last several years have averaged 25, 10, and 5. A handful of players. Joker, Greek Freak, Julius Randle. So when you say let him go, get rid of him, trade him for 6 bags of Krispy Kreme donuts, there's always a pause when you say get rid of him. Who are you replacing him with? Nah, he's coming back. You got to run this back, guys. You got to run this back. If you got this far without your Batman, Robin, or Batman, whatever, you got to run this back. Because if you got that far without him, how far would we have gotten with him? So, nah, I think he's a Nick. And I think he's going to give him another hometown discount to leave money on the table for another player.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. Who's Batman, who's Robin, and who's Alfred since R.J. Barrett's no longer on this team, Dom?
I got to say Brunson's Batman, Randall's Robin, and DiVincenzo and Hart can be Alfred and Catwoman. One of them. I think DiVincenzo can be Alfred. Now that Toronto boy is gone, yeah. That's not bad.
I'm not liking these answers. Coach Chris?
So
Yeah, I think right now Brunson is Rob is Batman. Randall would have to be Robin. Coincidentally, their last names are B's, start with B's and R's. As far as Alfred, I'm going to go with a combination. If you put the two of them together, they can be DiVincenzo and Hart or Alfred, and then Hart and Stein could be the Flash. And then you got your Justice League, you know, your version of the Justice League. As far as Randall, no Superman. I mean, Superman, he's not even real. He's not a real person. You know, Batman's a real person. Robin's a real person. Alfred is you know, he's a real guy. I don't believe in super anything. You're talking to the biggest Batman fan on the East Coast, probably. So with that being said, do I think Randall has played his last game? No. Unless there's like a that we probably haven't thought of as of the moment, but I don't see him playing his last day anytime soon. I think his production is still high, and I think he's still I think he's still a very valuable player, and I think we still love him as fans, and I don't see why he would be able or why it would be any reason to get rid of him.
Just make sure he doesn't log on to Twitter and see all the tweets from the Knicks haters, because Randall gives off vibes that he's petty, and if you see those tweets from those stupid Knicks fans, he'll run out of town. He'll run to Penn State and get the fuck out of Dodge, man, if you read some of those Knicks tweets. That's on Dom's Twitter, man, from the Knicks fans, man. Make sure he
that is that absolutely shit. True. That is absolutely true. And just a bulletin, just an all-points bulletin, folks. With the Miami Heat losing on tonight, the Knicks have clinched a playoff spot. They are in the playoffs automatically. All they got to determine is seeding. But the Knicks are going to the show. Once again, congratulations to the New York Knicks, now playoff bound. Mr. Live.
You.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, Randall is coming back. I don't even think it's a – I don't even think it's a question. There is nobody out that the Knicks need to truncate, fuse together a package to trade for. If no one sees it now, like, we are in trouble. And I mean that in the most urgent way. If you don't see that DiVincenzo, that you got one of the three best shooters in the league already here, For food stamps, you're bugging. You know what I'm saying? I got an apology contract that Steve sent me that I gotta have for Hart, because he's the glue. He you know, and you got them.
That's true.
You got them for food stamps. You understand what I'm saying? The only thing we missing is a dependable scoring in that front court. You understand what I'm saying? And Randall does it. Is he the most perfect person in the world? No. But he is top 20, right, if not 15 players in the league as far as production goes. So as Steve point, you got to run it back, right? You got to – and if you don't, who are you going to get? To Don's point, there's nobody out there to get. So Randall is coming back, like most definitely. You know who you might want to look at. You know whether Mitch coming back. You know what I'm saying? Let's get that popping. Let's get that campaign popping. You know what I'm saying? Because if they don't keep Hardenstein, I might do it. And it's going to be problems. We're going to be in trouble, because you can look at any time Mitch come into the space now. We know now that Mitch can't receive an entry pass, because we don't know what he's going to do. But right, me and Av talked about that the other night. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know what he's going to do with that entry pass. So, yeah, and he's not passing, so he's not providing any ball movement while he's in there. That's a whole another episode, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Brunson is Batman. Randall is Alfred. DiVincenzo is Alfred. And Hart is Morgan Freeman.
Damn.
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, the voice of God himself. Oh.
Nah, he like that that security specialist in the movies. He's a DCU character. You know what I'm saying?
Lucius Fox. Oh, I know who you're talking about.
So, Lucius Fox. You know, I'm a Marvel head. You know what I'm saying? Go Marvel. I'm a Marvel head. So I don't know nothing about no.
Me too. Me too. I am not. I am not a DC guy. I am not into DC.
Marvel comics, not no damn movies either. Marvel comic head, guys. So let's get it.
There's a difference. And folks, if you're tuning in right now, you're in the right place. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, which is showing our geek portion of ourselves. Right before we go into final thoughts, thank you so very much for joining us. Thank you so very much for everything to all the guys. Steve, let's run the gambit. Last final thoughts, starting off with you, sir.
All right, a couple of points. Number one, my final thoughts. We apologize for last week. Not our fault. Not the system. I take no accountability for that. That was totally just engineering the system. So that's that. And number two, you know, I want to defer my final thought of time. Let's go back to Mr. Rock because we never really got his thoughts over the last couple of weeks. I'll defer my time. But my last point before I defer some of my time, man, I am still, Tom, I got to ask you. This is a straight basketball question because I'm still pity of the Huskies, what they did. That is, I told Chris behind the scenes, I said the Huskies remind me, of when I watched the 70s Knicks on tape, they remind me of the college version. Just balanced offense. Man, what are your thoughts, John, when it's your final thoughts this week? But I want to defer some of my time after just to get, you know, his thoughts on the Knicks over the last couple of weeks. Thanks, guys. It was a great conversation.
I had this funny feeling, Steve. Again, I have to root for my alum. But I had this funny – I didn't think they would get knocked out that early. But I just never saw them this year as that we could get to the promised land type team. And even that being said, I always when Carolina's gone, I always go for the field. I'll always look for the upset, and that's just my way of enjoying March Madness. But there was too many games this year, Steve. You know me and you watch college ball. There was too many games this year. And I saw so many flaws in NC that I was like, nah. And then you look what NC State did. They stormed through the ACC tournament, stormed halfway through March Madness, and you had Duke and North Carolina that couldn't get out their way, and here we are. I mean, Connecticut was the best team, Steve. You said this how long ago? They were the best team. You picked Connecticut over the field, and they were the best. They were the better team all year.
After game number two, I looked at nobody being this team. Yeah, after game number two, back in like Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
Steve, when's the last time you saw somebody go on a 30-nothing run?
I never seen that. I mean, maybe
you.
In street ball?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Thank you. That was it for me. That was it for me. It was over. But here's the good thing, guys, for the equality, the women's tournament – on average, drew 5 to 7 million more viewers than the men's tournament. That's some serious stuff there.
And that's another conversation. The South Carolina women's team, that is a great team, man. It didn't matter who was coming out. Nobody. That's a squad, man. That's just a powerhouse, man. I already looked at defeat if we were to play them anyway. But I'm with you, Dom. Yeah. So it was good college basketball season. Good to talk with you. Well, Dom, let me ask you this real quick before we go to Coach Kristen live. And how would you – the balance of that squad, man, would you say is comparable to the Knicks? Because when I look at the 70s Knicks, the early 70s Knicks, the two championships, it was balanced as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Everything.
Ooh, Connecticut? Steve. Again, Steve, they could have lost. They could have lost 14 games this year. During the regular season, come down to the nuts and bolts, one game, go home. Nobody was going to beat them. They were the most complete team offensively, defensively, coaching, bench. They was, like you're saying, Steve, they was, you know, now that Dick Barnett's going into the Hall of Fame, that 70s team probably has the most Hall of Famers off of one team in NBA history. Considering the Lakers. Think about that. That's who you're right, Steve. They were just so much – Steve, you called it – they were just so much better than everybody this year that if they didn't win it, it would have just been a massive upset. But that was Steve, the 30-0 run, I was done after that. I said, I should just stop watching this shit. Because ain't nobody going to top this. Nobody. So I guess that'll be my final thought. And next year is always another year for NC.
Hail Juan Soto. Hail Juan Soto. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Coach Chris, your final thoughts, please, sir.
Yes. So if Saturday, if the parade doesn't get snowed in, I'm going to walk around downtown Hartford opening up fire pumps all over the town, so you might see me on the news, because I don't care.
You'll get arrested.
I am anti-UConn all the way. I don't give a damn. Listen, the senator knows this. I am anti-UConn. And one of my best friends played for UConn. I still got dudes that I talked to from back in the day that played for UConn that are friends with. I'm never going for UConn, ever. I don't. My cousin's daughter is about to graduate in 2 months from UConn. I'm not going. I don't care. I am in no way not doing it. Listen, anybody but them. I would even would have preferred if Duke won. That's how much I don't like UConn.
Hush your mouth. Hush your mouth. Duke. No. I got to cut you off there, bro. I got to cut you off. You said Duke?
I'd accepted that more than what I would. To me,
wow.
UConn is the equivalent of the Patriots. That's how much they annoy the hell out of me. And maybe it's just because I just live in this area, but I'm done with it, man. Let me tell you, when they had to force me coming out of high school to do the UConn tour, I didn't want to go. I was trying to fake sicknesses and all. I said, can we go to Sacred Heart? Can we do something else? Nah. I had to go up there. It was cold. I'm walking around. I said, why I got to be here, man? Like, I'm missing out on stuff that I don't even care. Classes that I was passing easily, I'm like, you got me up here. I should be in geometry or something, whatever I was doing at that time. So my bail money is put to the side. Look for me on the news and Instagram and all of that stuff. Random man in a Batman mask going around downtown Hartford opening up fire pumps. It's me.
Coach, what college did you go to, Coach?
I went to Central Connecticut for my bachelor's, and I did University of St. Joseph's for my master's.
Yeah, that's dope.
I got accepted to St. John's University. It was a little bit expensive from what my parents could do. When my counselor said, do you want to put in an application for UConn, I almost caught a charge right there when she asked me that question. I said, no. Central Connecticut is right 15 minutes from here. Let's go there.
I got two total spectrums, Chris. Coach, I went to Penn State and then UNC. Because of all my travels, so.
You went to some fucking party schools at the university.
Yeah, I got my bachelor's at Penn State and my master's at UNC. By the time I got my master's, I was retired.
You are an intelligent man. I can see by just from that.
Brilliant man.
So they say.
Mr. Live, your final thoughts? Please.
This has been a great season for me, man. I haven't felt like this since before the finger roll. You know what I'm saying? I am. You know, Brunson is our guy, man. He's that A1 player that we need. We don't need to go no place else. We have to fortify and protect him. Keep the budget flexible. Get high quality players like we've been doing. Keep scouting the way we're scouting, and do not make the stupid move like going to get Embiid. You know, I mean, I'll take, you know, it's not my money. I'll take Spider, but you know, let's get to the Eastern Conference Finals, man. I could see it happening, and everybody else see it happening. So, you know, let's get there, man. You know, you know, love y'all guys, man, and it's always good to hear, you know, y'all talk and you know, be knowledgeable about things, man, and I love y'all cats, man. Be good.
And we love you too, homie.
Jonathan, before you go, that's what the Knicks need. They need Mr. Live or myself or Av as an assistant coach, the last assistant coach. So the event they're blowing out a team and then leaving the starters in. Av could go and hit Tom Thibodeau with a chair shot like Seth Rollins with the shield as a shield, man. No more of that shit. We get Thibodeau with a chair shot to lose the captain game, man. Dude, he's fucking up the championship doing that, yo.
And he's still doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like Brunson is doing 40 a game, but he's doing 40 minutes in the game too. Come on, man. Just who goes to the pushbook for that shit?
Check his car tires. I bet him some balls, man. He's doing shit.
No, he probably be free. He probably wears his driver out too if he has one. He's probably up at all kinds of nights. Knowing him, at this point, anything is possible. Listen, thank you so very much for listening in to the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Tune in to us next week as we will wrap up the regular season with the final three games to conclude as of Sunday. We'll be back here on Wednesday right before the NBA playoffs start. And we started doing, you know, a full analysis on every single matchup. It should be a lot of fun. Should be, you know, if you ever wanted to join and throw in your two cents, it doesn't matter what team you rock, what team you support. The number to dial is 929-477-4171. And then press the number one, and you will join in the conversation. And every team, every opinion, every intelligent and even the crazy thoughts is always welcome here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, here at the Bleed Blue Show. We want to carry on that conversation and carry on that great dialogue with very many, many intelligent and wonderful Nick Yankee, Giant, Ranger, and all kinds of fans. So, again, I'm your boy, Knickerbocker Avenue. As always, repping, bleeding, yelling it, and I'm always wearing it, that orange and blue, except for last night I was wearing Yankees. I know Live was going to say something about that. But, yeah, I was wearing my Yankee stuff yesterday. But today I'm back in my traditional orange and blue. And I expect each and one of you to believe that, you know, to be wearing it too. Why? It's just why? We're the third seed right now. We're a game out of second place. We can actually get into the second place if we play our cards right. And, of course, this team is playing like a championship contender. So start believing that we are a championship contender. It's one thing if the players also believe it, but the fans have to believe it. We have been waiting 51 years since the Knicks have been called NBA champions, and it's now the time. This is now the time. Like I think it was Dom who said it. The Boston Celtics have been like the best team in the NBA for 160,000 years. They haven't won the title in a long time, even though I think they're tied for the most. Same thing with the Lakers. Same thing with the Warriors. Same thing with, you know, the Denver Nuggets. They're the defending champions, but they don't look like they're freaking running away with it. Look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Look at every single other team, and you pick one of those damn teams and tell me which one scares you, because not a single freaking one scares me. Not a single one scares this panel, and I'm damn sure that not a single one scares each and every one of those players wearing that New York Knicks jersey. So tomorrow night, when they head into Boston and give them a B-town beatdown, come home, show little brother who runs this city. Then we take Chicago and give them one last ass whooping and send them packing. Bring on the playoffs. Destiny awaits the New York Knicks. Destiny awaits the New York Knicks fandom, the New York Knicks Nation. It's you, me, and everybody else who bleed this orange and blue. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for listening in. on your iTunes, on your Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, you Stitcher apps. Thank you so very much. I'm Nickamaka Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on Threads. Bleeding orange and blue all day, every day, 24/7, 365, 366 on a leap year. Good night, everybody. Have out.